I can always count on my brothers to keep me humble. Let's all stand for the reading of God's words. Good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Turn your Bibles with me to Mark chapter 8. Mark chapter 8 and verse number 22. Mark chapter 8 and verse number 22. Mark 8 chapter 20. Chapter 8 verse 22. The Bible says, "And he cometh to Bethsaida, and they bring a blind man to him, and besought him to touch him. And he took the blind man by the hand, and led him out of town. And when he had spit on his eyes, and put his hands upon him, he asked him if he saw aught. And he looked up and said, I see men as trees, walking. After that, he put his hands again upon his eyes, and made him look up. And when he was restored, and saw every man clearly." I want to preach on, I can see clearly now. I can see clearly now. Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, we love you, Lord. We thank you for all you've done for us, Lord. Lord, thank you for the two messages that we heard already, Lord. Lord, thank you for all the different things you've done this day, Lord. Lord, thank you for your grace. Thank you for your mercy, Lord. Lord, we love you, Lord. I pray you help us to see what this man saw, Lord. Help us to help each other, Lord. Encourage each other, Lord. We come here to seek wisdom from you, to get wisdom, to get strength and get encouragement, Lord. Lord, we love you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I've learned that you need to preach. You need to live what you preach. And what I mean by that, I was preaching this morning at the nursing home, and I'm preaching on infirmities. I'm preaching on how the Satan buffeted Paul. And I'm preaching on these different things. And in the midst of me preaching about those different storms and those different trials, I got a trial while I was there. What do you mean? My face started swelling. And I'm there to encourage the people that's there. And so I have to live what I'm preaching. I can't, now my face is swollen, I can't just sit down and say, oh, woe is me. I have to continue preaching. I have to glory in my infirmities. My brother always reminds me that, and I love to give me a high five right there. He always reminds me to glory in my infirmities. If you read back in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, 1 through 6, you see Paul says, in this and in that. My infirmity is this, I'm in this and in that. But at the very end, we get to down verse number 9, he says, I glory in my infirmities. So we need to learn that from Paul. So this is a different time. We're going to stick to the scripture here in Mark chapter 8. The Bible says in verse 22, and he cometh to Bethsaida, and they bring a blind man to him. First of all, let's stop there. We need to have the type of friends that this man had. If you read there, it says, and they. So he had people that it says to bring. They didn't just walk with him. That word bring there means to carry. So they brought him to the Savior. Aren't you glad that at a time, a period of your life, that someone brought you to the Savior? We have people to lead us to Christ. That means also to carry, to bring us to him. I think about for all those years when we lived on the west side, we had the church bus. And I have a special mother-in-law back there. She always brought us to church. If we was running lights and we was speeding, we got to the church. Our goal was to get to the house of God. We got here. Amen. Hallelujah. The Bible says, and he cometh to Bethsaida, and they bring and carry a blind man unto him. At one point in period of time, we all were blind. If you're saved now, you were blind. At some point in time, we walked and we could not see. We had a path that was not straight, like the Bible says in Proverbs 3. We didn't trust in Jesus. We didn't trust in Christ. We trusted our own ways. We went our own path. The Bible says, and they bring a blind man unto him and besought him. He didn't besought the Lord. The Bible says they besought the Lord. So they begged the Lord. They pleaded the Lord on his behalf. Yeah. On this man's behalf. We have that type of friends. I'm not preaching on friends, but I could. Amen. It says, his friends begged or besought him to touch him. First, we see the plan of his healing. It says to touch. The word touch there also means to attach. So he had to attach. The friends wanted the Lord to attach himself to his blind man's friend. To the blind man, I'm sorry. And it says, and he took the blind man by the hand. A couple weeks ago, I had the privilege to go to my sister's graduation. And while we were going to after the graduation, I had a chance to hold my mother's hand. When you're holding someone's hand, you think of power. Right hand represents power. Well, my mother had me by the right hand. So we're walking down the street, and there's lights. And if you know anything about the west side of Chicago, people drive funny. People drive fast, drive, you know, my type of driver, amen. They try and get somewhere. So I had my mother by the hand. So I'm guiding her. We walking, and we had to walk a good mile because there's no parking anywhere around there. So this person, the blind man, was walking with Jesus. He walked out of town. And before I get there, reason why he's walking out of town, if you remember back in previous chapter, it might have been this exact chapter. Yeah. In chapter 8, the beginning part, he came to this place already. When he gave them the 4,000, when he fed the 4,000, this way was at. The Bible said then he was around this area. I'm sorry. You have border towns, things that's around. So that's where he was at. He was in this area. And he came here once again. So he let them out that town because of their unbelief. They had a chance to accept Jesus. At one point in time, the Holy Spirit is going to knock. And we have the chance to accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior. Jesus, he only has to offer you one time to get saved. He doesn't have to. That's his grace to keep coming, continuing over and over, keep knocking and keep knocking. He doesn't have to. He doesn't have to. He does it because he loves us. The Bible says, and he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of town. And when he had spit on his eyes and put his hands upon him, he asked him if he saw aught. You see his plan. So Jesus had a plan for everything. If you go throughout the scriptures, Jesus normally, and Jesus could do what he wanted to, he's Jesus. But he normally, when he says you're healed, you're healed. He spoke, he just touched your eyes once. I'm not going to spin your eyes. He just touched your eyes and you're healed. If he told one man, get up and walk. He got up and walked. He told another person, come out the grave. He came hopping out the grave. Just the way he was. But see, here he had a process. The Bible says he asked if he saw aught. That means if he's to see anything. And in verse 24 it says, and he looked up and said, I see men as trees walking. Well, we know something different here. He said he see men as trees walking. Well, how does he know how men look? He wasn't always blind. Now, when in our walk with Christ, we could become blind. What I mean by blind, we can hinder the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, if we hinder the Holy Spirit, then we're not adhering to the Holy Spirit. Then normally, if you do something wrong, I kick him on his foot and I keep walking. The Holy Spirit is going to tap my heart and say, hey, you need to apologize. And if I continue not to go to apologize, if I continue to do what I want to do because I'm blind, I'm end up getting blind because I'm doing what I want to do. Now the Holy Spirit is hindering. And so here it says, right after that, the Bible says, he said, I see men as trees walking. Then the Bible says in verse 25, and he looked up and said, in verse 25, I'm sorry. After that, he put his hands again upon his eyes and made him look up. And he was what? He was restored. That means he was complete. He was whole again. So he was blind. He wasn't blind from the beginning, but then he became blind and Jesus healed. So he's not blind anymore. And I messed up the outline. I don't know why I write outline, man. Bible says, after that, he put his hands again up on his eyes and he made him look up and he was restored and saw every man clearly. And then he said something. While I was studying all this, I learned something different. You normally hear someone say P.S. I had no clue what that meant. You just say P.S. You don't need to learn what that stuff means. What that means, postscript. I'm like, what people get come up with this stuff? It's P.S., postscript, all of this stuff. Well, see, after he was delivered, after he was healed, after he was made, he was completed, the Bible says, Jesus said this in verse 26. He said, neither go into the town nor tell any in the town. But why did he say that? And so he said it for a reason. Now, if you go back to Mark chapter 6 and verse 5 and 6. Mark chapter 6 and verse 5, he says, and he could there do no mighty works, save that he laid his hand upon a few sick folk and healed them. And he marveled because of their unbelief. And he went around about the villages teaching. So he didn't do many works because of the unbelief. So he's telling them not to go. They had no faith in Jesus. They had no faith in anything that he could. They didn't want to have faith in him. They turned him away. And so then the Bible says, you go back to Mark chapter 8. This man saw clearly because of the plan of his healing, then the process of his healing, and then the P.S. when he told him not to go back. He wanted this man to go home. Every time you see someone, Jesus making someone complete, making them whole, he tells them something to do. That means you get busy. You get busy for the Lord. He wanted them to go back. He wanted them to go back home. When we go back home, it's people around us that knows us, that know how we used to be. Remember, the man was blind. Well, so how do you get blind? Someone's going to walk up to you. Why are you not blind anymore? Right there, that's testimony. That's a way to win to someone. You're sharing what Jesus did for you. It's times like today, I went to a birthday party. No one knew me there. I don't have a testimony amongst men and them. Not that I think, you know. Some of them probably do see me, you know, walking down the street or whatever, but it's outside that they probably don't. Now, if I go back home, if I go back to the north side or go back to the west side, go back to different areas that I'm from, I walk down the street and I'm walking normal. Hey, how you doing? They'll stop right there. Hey, what's wrong? You know, normally, for some reason, when we walk down the street, we got a little limp. We got a little some type of walk. But if I sit there and I'm just walking, yeah, how y'all doing? Normally, I never speak to anybody. I just, you know, mean mugging people and looking all funny. But you go back home, there's people that are going to ask you, what's different? There's something different. You're not the person you used to be. Why? Because we see clearly now. We see clear because of what Jesus did for us. Jesus saved us. Jesus died for us. If Jesus died for us, that gives us a testimony. If we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we have some type of testimony, some type of trial that we could tell everyone else about. Someone knows your past. Someone knows everything that you've been through. We all have some type of friend, some type of relative that we grew up with. When you grow up, you're growing up. Sometimes you don't catch that. You're growing up. Growing up, you go from small to big. Not only small to big, but you're growing up, you're getting mature. Growing up also means to mature. So when we mature also in Christ. We're not a babe in Christ anymore. We need to go back and tell those people around our house what Jesus did for us, like this man. The Bible said, neither go into the town, nor tell to any in the town. Now go with me to Matthew chapter 11, and verse number 28. Matthew chapter 11, and verse number 28. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, come unto me, all ye that are labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Not might so, not hope so. The Bible says, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek, lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your soul. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You ever try to swallow some yolk at home? You'll choke. Yolk, eggs. You'll choke. But Jesus said, for my yoke is easy and my burden light. Jesus doesn't give you a burden. He might give burden for people. That's not the same type of burden. The Bible says, and my burden is light. Now go with me to Romans chapter 10 and verse number 9. Romans chapter 10 and verse number 9. The Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thy heart God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Then the Bible says, For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So here it's telling you, after you get saved, you go tell somebody. You need to make that confession. Confession comes from salvation. After you get saved, you have a confession. You confess what Jesus did for you. Then you go back to now go with me to John chapter 6 and verse number 37. John chapter 6 and verse number 37. Let's start in verse number 36. The Bible says, but I say unto you that ye also have seen me and believe not. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will nowise cast out. That word cast out means to reject or to send away. If you come to Jesus, Jesus is not going to send you away. Jesus is not going to cast you away. He wants you to come to him. He came for us that we can see him, that we can come to Christ and believe. Then the Bible says in John 3 and verse. See, we all read John 3:16, but we normally don't read the verses after John 3:16. The Bible says in John 3:17, God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world. John 3:17, God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Jesus came that we can have life and have it more abundantly. Now go over back to Mark chapter 8. Mark chapter 8. And what we learn from this blind man, because a certain blind man, we learn that we can see clearly. We can see clearly after we come to Jesus. And we can continue to come to Jesus, because Jesus asked him a question. And he asked him, in Mark chapter 8, in verse 23, and he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the town. And when he had spit on his eyes and put his hands upon him, he asked him if he has saw aught. Some people murmured and some people probably complained and said, look at that. Jesus, he can't see nothing. See, at that time, when he said he still could see, come remember, he saw men as trees, but it was still blurry. That means we need to come continuously to Christ. Not just after we get saved. See, some people they treat Jesus like a insurance and policy, which he is in policy, which is good. That's all fine. But see, we need to practice that policy and keep coming back to Jesus. Not just one time. Come back after we're saved. Lord, I need you to keep cleaning me. I need you to unclog my eyes. I need you to unclog my eyes. I need you to do something for me that I can't do for myself. The Bible says that after Jesus asked that, he looked upon and saw men as trees. And in verse 25, after that, he put his hands upon his eyes and made him look up, and he was restored. Not might restored, but he was restored. What is it that we need to come to Christ for? There's something that's hindering us from moving forward. It could be unbelief. It could be unfaithfulness. It could be ourself. For me, it was pride. The Bible says, wrapped as it, and saw every man clearly. This man could sure see clearly now. Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you for what you did for us, Lord. Lord, I pray that if anyone here, Lord, need to come to you, Lord, so they can see clearly on that path. Lord, for you to show them exactly what they need help in. Lord, I know that in my walk with you, Lord, it's always time that I need to come to you, come to ask you for strength, come to ask you for encouragement. Lord, we learned earlier that you can do all things abundantly, but we need to come and ask, Lord. Help us to humble ourselves and just ask you to do what we can do for ourselves. Lord, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. That's all.